One of my favorite things to do with little kids, especially when I had little kids, was to teach them certain symbols or signs that we thought was so much fun. For instance, I don't know why we like this, but our youngest, we would always teach that when we say the word touchdown, she did this with her arms.
Oh, cute.
She was two and we'd go, touchdown, and she'd just shake her arms in the air, right?
I love it.
So she knows today, now she's 16, this means touchdown. Some other things we taught her is this symbol, because her best friend was nonverbal as a little child, and this means I love you in sign language. So that was a fun symbol that we taught her. Another one was bones. Have you ever done that? Put your hand in a fist and just go, bones.
No, I've never done that.
Well, that's one that tons of little kids love. My daughter all the time, bones, we would always do that. There's all these fun little gestures that people love to do, and some not so kind, I will say that. But we are gonna talk about some of the most sacred gestures. And while some of these seem so familiar to you, then we're gonna talk about some that might not be, but that's okay, they can be familiar. And we are excited to show you what they are. Welcome to Jesus Christ in Scripture, Finding Christ on Every Page. I'm Tammy Uzalak Hall, and this is my friend, Dr. Donald W. Perry. And we are so excited to dive into the Come Follow Me lesson this week, which is Exodus chapters 14 through 18. And this is part one of two. So grab your scriptures and open up to Exodus. We're going to start in 14. And Don, talk to us about this idea of gestures.
Yes. So I've got my Hebrew Bible.
Yes,
you have
the
English. Mm-hmm. And God revealed sacred gestures to his covenant people.
Okay.
This might surprise people. Hmm. Sacred gestures? What's that? What's that about? Sacred gestures. Now, we use sacred gestures in our own faith, and a lot of faiths do also. Both Christianity and Judaism and others use sacred gestures. And they're revealed in the Bible. So let's talk about them.
Okay.
Symbolic gestures are used in our culture a lot. So a woman shakes her hand to close a business deal, soldier saluting, bowing to your trainer, a woman swears on the Holy Bible in court, a gentleman tips his hat to a lady.
Very common gestures.
Very
like
common.
Like we're so familiar, they don't even seem weird to
us. In some religions that have temples, for example, Eastern religions, they remove their shoes. And we see that with Joshua, and we see it with Moses. Take off your shoes because it's sacred space. So we're going to look at some gestures. I've listed many of the sacred gestures in the Bible just to give everyone an overview. Some of these are unusual. For example, laying on of hands of animals before their sacrifice. What's that about? And we'll look at some of these, not all of these.
Okay.
Filling the priest's hand, cleansing the hands with water, laying on of hands of persons to set them apart or to ordain them, anointing with olive oil. Very, very sacred. By the way, many of these point to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Clasping hands. I've got one or two examples I'm going to give.
Okay.
Sprinkling sacrificial blood. Some of that in our culture will say, what? That seems really odd, especially if they sprinkle on clothing. But we'll look at this. This is scriptural. It's from God.
Mm-hmm.
Offering incense, using the right hand, praying with uplifted hands. This is so important. Let's do a separate PowerPoint and presentation on that one down
I
the
agree.
Road.
Okay.
It's very sacred. And then the wave and heave offering. But I'm reminded over 40 years ago, I participated in a baptism of an 89-year-old lady. Her name was Sister Wadcock. And she read the Book of Mormon, the Spirit worked with her. She is converted to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And she wanted to become a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But she's afraid of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't want whoever is baptizing her to accidentally drop her and then she drown.
Yeah.
It's a fear she had. So she asked permission and we received permission for two of us to go in the font.
Mm-hmm.
One of us perform the baptism and the other one to stand behind her to make sure she came out of the water okay.
Oh, wow.
And it went fine, but there were three sacred gestures. One was raising the right arm to the square,
mm-hmm.
very sacred. One was baptism, and the other one is emergence from the water, a right. new person. And it went fine, but very sacred.
So these are sacred gestures in the ancient Israelite temple. So anciently, the hand or hands were regularly employed in ancient temple ceremonies. God instructed his people perfectly through the utilization of hand rituals. Hand gestures may have symbolic meanings. The Hebrew word yad denotes a hand. The hand is an agent of power that is utilized in both ancient and modern ordinances. The power, of course, comes from God.
Yep. Let's start with this one.
Yeah, what does this mean?
Sacrificial wave offerings and heave offerings. There are two different gestures associated with some of the sacrifices.
Okay.
And one was the wave offering. Not all sacrifices, but some. And to the best of our knowledge, it would be an animal breast or loaf of bread, and it's waved before the Lord forward and backward or side to side. And a possible meaning, according to scholars, and I think they're right, you're presenting it to God and then back to the priest and they partake. And the heave offering is similar.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a similar meaning. And here are some scriptural examples if people want to look at it.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Another one is burning incense.
Mm-hmm.
Two scriptures suggest that the burning of incense represents the prayers going up to heaven.
Yes, I've always thought that.
Yeah.
I've read that and studied it, and it makes it even more special to me when you think that the incense was burning inside the tabernacle.
Yes.
To consider the prayers of the people going to him. And the incense was before the Holy of Holies. Like, that is so sacred to me.
That's significant.
Like, the prayers of the people before God.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's pretty neat.
The symbol of prayer, and then the high priest goes into the through the veil.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
Here's another one, putting blood on the altar's horns. And we have this wonderful image here. So here's a scripture from Leviticus 8. Moses took the blood of the bull and with his finger put it on the horns of the altar. Around it purified the altar. Notice what it did. That blood purified. Purified. Now think of Jesus, his blood purifying us.
Mm-hmm.
And notice this. And poured out the blood at the base of the altar, consecrated it to make an atonement for it. So it's related to the atonement.
Yes, it is.
And it looks forward to Christ.
Ah, that's good. We have the sprinkling of sacrificial blood on people and things. Now, again, this is like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Because it's not something we're used to. But to the Israelites, this was so common. They wouldn't have even balked at it.
That's right.
We have before the veil, the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. Is there something significant about the number seven?
Yes. And I've been thinking of doing a presentation on that. I'm considering that. I have a lot of material on it.
Can you give us a little hint of what seven might mean?
It's related to the word oath.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's a little hint.
That's a great hint.
We may or may not do it because we have so many things to cover.
There's a lot up there.
There's so much to cover.
But I think I love the idea of this. Look for seven in connection with oaths. That's very cool. We have the mercy seat. And the mercy seat is on the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes.
So have a picture in your mind. He shall take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times.
Yeah.
Moses took the blood, oxen, and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant. And Aaron in his garments, Moses took of the anointing oil and of the blood which was upon the altar and sprinkled it upon Aaron and upon his garments and sanctified Aaron and his garments.
And these are from God.
Yeah.
I bear testimony. These are from God. These are scriptures. And some people today, if one of God's prophets is going around and sprinkling blood on you or on your garments, some people would just say, I don't get it, or this is strange. Mm-hmm. It's not strange. It's from God. It's pure and it's holy.
And the thing I think is beautiful, I'm just connecting right now, is every single one of these things are pointing to Christ.
Yes.
Every single part, like you can find Jesus in every verse, which is, that's the whole goal
of all
of this.
That's the whole goal,
was just to help expose these people to Jesus Christ. So, neat.
Now, the laying on of hands, it's explicit. Aaron and his son shall put their hands upon the head of the bullock. And I love this image. It's an artist idea. They're always an artist conception. It might not be 100%, but what does it mean? It teaches the law of proxy. So it's atonement focused.
If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. And ye shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted of him to make atonement for him. And symbolically, this transmits human sins on animals' heads. Christ took upon himself our sins.
Again,
so neat.
Look for Christ.
What an incredible gesture that is.
Now, here is Samuel, the prophet. He took a vial of oil and poured it upon Saul's head, anointing. And then also he anointed David later. Remember, Christ, the name Christ, is Greek, and it means anointed one.
Yeah.
And the same word in Hebrew is Messiah. So this points to the Messiah, Jesus Christ.
Okay, this is a good one. The filling of the priest's hands, which you saw at the beginning. So several King James passages use the word consecrate, but the literal translation from the Hebrew Bible is fill the hand. Thou, Moses, shall fill there Aaron and his son's hands, or consecrate. That's so cool, and sanctify them. Thou, Moses, shall fill the hand of Aaron and the hand of his sons. 7 days shalt thou fill their hand, and he shall fill his hand to minister in the priest's office.
I think I found about 16 or 17 instances where the King James Version has consecrate But the literal is fill their hands. And I like the literal. Give me the literal.
Yeah, tell me, why do you like the filling hands versus consecrate?
Consecrate is actually from a different root and it has a different meaning. But to fill their hands, it makes me ask, oh, this is a sacred gesture. What's happening here? And we don't know exactly what they used, what they put in their hands. There are different theories. We're not sure, but this is more explicit. It's more accurate. We're going to transition a little bit. Okay. Not only did God reveal sacred gestures through his prophet Moses, but he used sacred gestures.
Okay.
Now, some of these we're going to look at, someone might say, oh, that's symbolic, or that didn't happen. It's just symbolism. Well, yes, all of it's symbolic, but I'm convinced some of these he does use,
okay,
that he actually does these gestures. And we don't know which ones for sure, but let's look at some of these. God swears an oath with a raised hand. For I lift my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. In the day when I chose Israel and lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted my hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God. The Lord has sworn by his right hand, specifically mentions the right hand.
Mm.
I'm citing my colleague, David C. Lee. He explains the biblical Hebrew expression is Nasa Yad,
mm-hmm,
the idea of Yad again, lifting the hand,
yeah.
Nasa Yad. But he says translations usually just say swore.
Mm.
Here again, I like the Hebrew. Do you want lifted his hand or do you want swore? And what a translator who uses the word swore, he's giving the interpretation versus what God's actually doing.
Here it is. And I, Jehovah, will bring you into the land concerning that which I did swear to give unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we love the literal translation.
That's KJV.
Yes.
So now the literal.
I, Jehovah, will bring you in unto the land which I lifted my hand to give it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Lifted my hand.
That's it.
This is it.
Yeah, that's it.
That is very cool. Even thinking about this right here, I did swear.
Yeah.
Thinking of this.
Yeah. And
which is so common to us. We see this. Yeah. This is no big deal.
And I think it's very interesting that in some of our court systems in the United States, we swear with a raised hand.
With
the right hand.
Yeah.
So I think that's very interesting. Now, this is another one, and I need to explain it. And I've got all sorts of lexical sources for our audience. Jehovah grasps the hand. For I, the Lord, will grasp your right hand, saying unto you, fear not, I will help you. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will grasp your hand and will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people. I'm employing to get these translations. We're using a Hebrew word. Now, this won't make sense to anyone unless they've had Hebrew, but it's not just a Hebrew word, but it's a certain verbal form. So I'm explaining it in case we have a lot of Hebrew listeners out there, students of Hebrew who are following us. And here's the lexical support. But also note that the New American Bible supports this reading and it says, grasp the hand. I'm trying to cover our bases here.
Very good. God's outstretched arm saves both ancient and modern Israel. Ancient Israel, remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt and that the Lord thy God brought thee out of thence from a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Now, this is everywhere in scripture.
Yes, it is.
But it's significant because it's a gesture. Modern Israel, I am the Lord your God, even the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. I am he who led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and my arm is stretched out in the last days to save my people Israel.
He's saving us, just like he saved our ancient brothers and sisters.
And I've always taught that when you read that his arm is stretched out, that it's a symbol of power. But now I love the idea that it's literally a gesture. His arm is, it's not just him. She's just saying, like, it's really stretched out to us.
Yes.
That's neat, Don.
And when you said, Sister Hall, that it's found throughout scripture, yes. Mm-hmm. Look at how many times.
So many.
I'm not going to read all of these, but notice in Isaiah, and then he repeats it. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still, and again and again and again. So, yeah.
Mark this one. I remember teaching that and reading it, and a student said, why does it keep saying that? And I was like, to show he's powerful? But now I would reteach that as a gesture of approach to us. That's so neat.
Notice this. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. And in the Hebrew, it says with an arm stretched.
Mm-hmm.
He's redeeming us. Redemption comes with a stretched out arm.
Mm.
I think it's really powerful. This one, it's symbolic, but I think it's also literal. So it's the resurrected Christ. Now we're in the New Testament, Luke 24. I, Jesus, send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued. And now we'd say endowed.
Yes.
So this is an endowment. And I pointed this out to a group, and some people said, I've never seen that. I've never connected that. Mm-hmm. Endowed with power. We see that in the Doctrine and Covenants a couple times, endowed with power, speaking of our temple endowment.
Yep.
And he led them as far as Bethany, which is 1.8 miles from Jerusalem.
Okay.
Now, the only reason I remember that is I've been over there so much. And in Jerusalem, there's a sign on a road that says, Bethany, 1.8 miles. I know it's crazy to remember these things. And he lifted up his hands, literal, but with symbolic meaning, and blessed them. And while he blessed them, he was carried up into heaven.
So Don, I have loved talking about all of these things because it led me to a story or an experience I had with my daughter. And it's how we started out at the very beginning, where we talked about there are some gestures that just seem so common. Nobody would ever question raising your arm up in a court of law or shaking a hand or a tip of a hat. I loved that one.
Yeah.
That's a gesture. After my daughter received her endowment, she and her best friend did it around the same time. And they were talking about what they'd experienced in the temple. I'm so grateful you ended with this, endowed with power. And they said, it's just weird. Like, we don't understand it, Mom. Like, there's all these things. And it was just really, that's her word. She was like, it was just weird for me. And I remember I had this moment where I said, let me ask you this. If you were in a court of law and somebody put their arm up and a hand on a Bible, what is that? And she knew exactly what it was. I go, is it weird? She's like, no, I've seen that on Law and Order. We watch a lot in my house. I said, okay, what if you go on a mission and you meet somebody and you say to them, in order to join our church, you have to be baptized and you have to go in the water and out of the water. That's going to be maybe weird for them. Is it weird for you? And she's like, no, because I've seen baptism since I was a little girl. I said, how about this one? On Sunday, you're going to bring somebody to church and they're going to eat bread and drink water. We had a foreign exchange student one time from Yugoslavia, old Yugoslavia, this was in the 80s, and he took bread and he didn't know what to do with it. And he just held it in his hand and we leaned over and we're like, just eat it. And he said this, where's the peanut butter? That's exactly, we laughed because he just did, it was so weird for him. He's like, why am I eating this bread? It's normal for us because we've done it our whole lives. And so I said, the same goes for the temple. It's just different because you haven't been doing it your whole life, which is why we're encouraged to just keep going to the temple so that all those gestures become as normal as a courtroom, as normal as being baptized, as normal as a tip of the hat. That's the whole point and purpose. Everything in the temple, being endowed with power from on high, the temple is filled with beautiful gestures of power and of love from our heavenly parents and from our Savior Jesus Christ. So take the opportunity this week to really immerse yourself and look at all those gestures and find in there the beauty, as Don has done for us today. This has been a great discussion about these incredible gestures. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week studying these scriptures, and we'll see you in part 2. Shalom and goodbye.